If you take out these little flyers that you have in your bulletin, today I guess we're going to call this Mission Weekend. We're going to be talking about missions today. And just quickly, on the back, there are 27 missions that we support on a monthly basis. And
these are supported out of the general offering. These are the predominant amount of these are ones that you support just by your tithes and offerings.
Matthew 28. Jesus is about ready to ascend into heaven. Most of you know this scripture. Jesus says to his disciples and ultimately us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." So this is our mission. As Christians, this is our mission. This is the church missions to tell people about Jesus. It's called the Great Commission. In John 15:16, Jesus tells his disciples and us to go and bear fruit. Most people think that is involved in their own life, but that word "go" there is talking about go out, go tell people about me, bear fruit, evangelize, and make disciples. And so this is our mission here in San Diego and the world. And one of the things that's exciting for Mark and I, as this church has gotten bigger, we're able to pool our resources and really do a work for the Lord around the world in a way that maybe we weren't able to if we were a smaller church. One of the things that Mark and I wanted to do early on was we didn't want to have our missions here at the church be like a shotgun where we just gave a bunch of money everywhere. We wanted to kind of concentrate our money on where we thought the Lord was really moving, where our money, where we could get the biggest bang for our buck, really where we felt the Lord say, "This is what we want you to do." And so we started with the Cuba ministry, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute. We have two others that we're going to concentrate on this morning that's on your flyer. And the other ministries, we give to them all every month, as Mark said. What else I want to say about here? So what we're going to start with here is we've got 27 ministries. We're just going to quickly highlight 12 of them. 9 of them we give regularly out of our monthly budget. The other 3 we give out of our monthly budget. But the Lord is moving in such a miraculous way that we're going to ask you to give a little extra in these 3 ministries to just come alongside of what God's doing, so you'll hear about it. So let's quit. The first thing we want to do, Mark, we wanted to just recognize people who have gone with us on some of our mission trips to either Cuba, El Salvador, Guatemala, Russia, Kenya, or Mexico. If you've done anything, if you've gone with us on one of those, would you please stand up? All right. So, Mark, let's start with the first of these first 9 that we're going to go through, just to give you an idea of where your tithes and offerings are going. The first is Guatemala. We've been involved in Guatemala for several years. We help with an after-school Bible program there that reaches about 250 kids a week. We're involved with Merlot's. We're involved with helping about 75 plus severely disabled children. It really tore my gut, and I'm really glad, you know, I'm seeing these kids, and you're helping to minister to them. We've partnered with a pastor there, Pastor Romero, and he's just opened up some doors for us there. We do medical clinics. We hire dentists to help the people, and we're hoping to build next to the church that they have a property. We're hoping to be able to build a clinic there, and also a place where we can go down, and we're going to put beds in there so the kids can come down from our church and do mission work. Is Carlos and Nora here? Why don't you stand up? They head up our Guatemala mission right there. Let's give them a hand. This gentleman right here was a professional soccer player. He played for the Guatemalan national team. You played in the World Cup, right? I mean, you, huh? The Olympics. He played in the Olympics for Guatemala, and he played professional soccer here. And so Because of that, he really opens doors. I was surprised, people still, even though you're old, people still. I went into a sports bar, just pictures all over the wall. They still remember you. And you're the only person I've ever gone on a trip with who carries his soccer cleats with him on the airplane, doesn't want any. It's, and I, they're gold, and he puts them up in the thing. I've had a lot of coffee, Mark. Thank you, guys.
Let's talk about two more ministries. A lot of you have heard about the explosive, historic church growth in China. But did you know that there's also extremely rapid church growth in India? And we support two cool, impactful ministries in India. Now, India is made up of 600,000 towns and villages. Many of these have no church there at all. So they're not, you're getting no gospel witness. The first ministry I want to talk to you about is All India Mission. This is one of the first missions that we ever supported. We've supported them for over 25 years. It's run by our friend N.J. Varghese. And their vision is to plant churches in these unreached villages and towns. So they train up pastor church planters, and they have begun over churches in over 400 unreached city group cities. So that's very exciting. And you guys have been a part of that for 25 years. So you've helped many of those start. And as the ministry's grown, it's come to include medical clinics and orphanages and schools as well. The second one is similar, and that's the Alibaba Bible Institute. And that's run by our friend Arun Michael Law.
I'm sorry. Every time I hear that, you try to say that word fast three times, Mark. It's unbelievable. Alibaba. Sorry. I interrupted you. I'm sorry. I won't do that again.
No, that's all right. It was important.
It is okay?
It was important. As long as it's important.
Okay.
They have the same focus that All India does, in that they are also trying to plant churches in these unreached villages and cities. And they're a lot younger. They haven't been as far, but as they've built up a very successful church, and in it, this Bible college that has begun to send out these church planters as well. I want to tell you, we're very excited about this, because this was a real God thing that he got us involved. Let me tell you how this came about, that we got involved with this church and this Bible college. One day, I received a phone call, and I answered it, and there was a man with a heavy Indian accent on the other side, and he told me that he was a pastor in India, but he was in California right now in Tucson, and he wanted to come out and see me. And I said, well, how did you get my name? And he said that when he was in India, he was visiting a pastor, and he was looking at the pastor's bookshelf, and there he saw a book on the kingdom of God, and he had just been praying and thinking about the kingdom of God. He hadn't gotten any teaching on it. So he took out that book. It turned out to be On Earth as It Is in Heaven, and it rocked his world. And here's the amazing thing. India's a country of over a billion people. I mean, I don't know if there's 10 of these books in it. I don't know how it got there. But that was our link. And so he took a bus out here, and for 10, 12 years, he's been involved. Every time he's in the States, he comes and speaks to our common ground. And so we're very excited about that ministry. He was a professional cricket player, but they're doing a great work of training and planting new churches in these unreached cities.
The next ministry we want to talk about is Restoration Ranch. We've been supporting that ministry for over 20 years. This church helped start it originally with a man named Murph Richwine, a friend of ours. Unfortunately, he was killed in a motorcycle accident. But one of the students there who, this Restoration Ranch is a drug and alcohol recovery program, very successful. They have 30 beds there. It's a 7-acre farm. The guys there actually work on the farm. Brian Storm is the director. He and his wife come to church here. Are you guys here? You should sit over there. Are you here? You know, I should have asked first service. I forgot. I bet they're here first service, because they're always here. Anyway, Brian Storm and Terry go to church here. And they have an excellent recovery rate.
Yes.
And so we've been supporting them for many, many years, and we'll continue to do so once a month.
All right, the next ministry that we have is in Africa. How many of you guys understand that one of the real problems in Africa, Africa, as you know, has had incredible church growth over the last, 50 years, 100 years. But you probably heard the real problem over there is that a lot of the pastors don't have good biblical instruction, good theological education. And so there's a lot of mixture that comes in. There's a lot of tribal practices. And so about 12 years ago, we met somebody, and he introduced us to Kenya Ministry Training Institute. This is a tremendous school over there. They have a two-year degree, and it's set up in Kenya. It's set up so that pastors, for not a lot of money, can attend there while they continue to pastor their church or work their jobs. So many of the people attending there are people that are already pastoring churches. They have campuses in a number of cities in Kenya and one in Uganda. And I've been to the one in Kitale several times, and I'm telling you, they are producing discipled, well-instructed pastors that are going out and doing a great job. And do you know they have, this year, they have now graduated over 2,500 students. So we're very excited to be a part of that. Larry Neese and George Wafulu have both been here. You've met them. They've been here several times. They are the directors. We support them financially, and we have scholarship dozens of students through that two-year program. And just this week, I got a letter from a pastor that just is graduating this term, and he wanted to thank us because people that he never met made it possible. And he said he gave testimony to the effect this has had on his life and his marriage and his family and the way it is ministry, because they take these guys and they show them what a biblical marriage is, because it's, you know what marriage is like in many places in the world. And he finished with these words. He said, "I used to teach heresy, but now thanks to you, I teach sound doctrine." So give yourself a hand. You guys are doing a great job through KMPI.
The next ministry we support every month is called Capital Commission. It's Pastor Frank Ayer. And he's basically a chaplain to our state legislators, the lobbyists, the staff. And he holds regular Bible studies, counsels, and encourages those who work in our government up in Sacramento. And that's a tough place to be. Shouldn't be, but I think it is. Mark and I met with him, and we're really impressed with him. We talked to our state representative and also our state senator. They both spoke very highly of him. So we knew that you would want us as a church to help support Frank, and so we do every month. And there's his name. You can even pray for him. He's an awesome guy and is looking for opportunities to tell people about Jesus up at Sacramento in our state government.
Now, the last two that we want to cover of these nine that are just funded from your general, from the general offering, are both local ones. We tried to mix it up, local and international. And the first one is Tribe Church. Now, if you were at the National Day of Prayer event that we participated in Journey Church, you met their pastor, Jake McDonald. He was the one that introduced the subject, the part on evangelism. This guy's got a heart for evangelism, and particularly for reaching the newcomers in our midst. So Tribe Church is a church plant in East San Diego. And in East San Diego, there are 60 different ethnic groups, and they speak 45 different languages in that area. So it's kind of a United Nations here in our own San Diego area. And this is an outreach primarily, as you can see, to immigrants, refugees, and to kids who are at risk of gangs, and to just that population that's in East San Diego there. And Dave and I are excited. I met this guy just because he and I both write our sermons at the living room, coffee house. And I got to know him, and I got to visit his congregation and meet his people. And there, it's a very exciting work. And his goal is to get 30 kids to Future Quest. So that's exciting. Pray for that. The other one I want to mention real quickly is one that most of you are familiar with, and that's Pregnancy Care Center. It serves East County. It's located right here in East, in El Cajon, on Mollison and Washington. And their mission is to deal with young ladies and couples that are in what we call crisis pregnancies, unplanned pregnancies, often unmarried, people that think they don't have an option except for abortion. And so their mission is to supply information. They give ultrasounds. They give counsel. They give support. After the child is born, they have parenting classes and a lot of support, clothing, everything. And I want to just report this. We've shared this before, but this church, you people, helped them fulfill their dream. They wanted to open a center in Southeast San Diego. And you people, and this is primarily through the Mike Van Meter Home Fellowship driving this, but you raised, on top of what we give out of general funds, you raised $76,000 so they could open that center. And it's operating right now. And so they see between the two centers well over 1,000 people every year. And many children have been born who otherwise would have been aborted.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise God. The last one is Last Harvest Ministry. It's a Middle Eastern ministry. It's run by Pastor David Joseph. Grew up in Egypt. And through a series of events, the Lord brought him here. He used to work for Voice of the Martyrs, because he saw Christian persecution firsthand. That's one of their primary ministries, is to minister to persecuted Christians, specifically in the Middle East, and also to preach the gospel through the only Christian newspaper in the Middle East. You helped produce that paper, the only Christian newspaper in the Middle East. He's the editor of it, and we help them produce TV and radio programs in a studio right up here, which reach upwards of, you know, a couple million people every week with the gospel. A few years ago, Pastor Joseph came to Mark and I and asked us if he could be part of our church here, which is pretty humbling. The guy's, you know, we had to pray about it, but the Lord really has led us there. So he is part of our church now. He's one of the pastors we have on staff, but he's got this huge ministry. They have a church here that meets in our youth auditorium on Saturday nights at 7:30 or at 12:30 today if you want to go over there and have an experience. It's all in Arabic. They sing in Arabic, and it's an experience. Anyway.
It's a tremendous ministry.
It's a tremendous ministry, and we're humbled. Just to give you real quick, an idea of his effectiveness is sometimes your effectiveness is measured by your enemies, right? When the Muslim Brotherhood took over Egypt, they had a 10 most wanted list, and to kill them. David was number 7. In all the Middle East, he was number 7 to try to get away, to kill him, but the Lord was, he's still here. Anyway, so that just gives you an idea, and we're really happy to be and blessed to be a part of that. What Mark and I want to do with the time remaining is we want to go through the three ministries that we're concentrating on, the three ministries where we see God has opened doors and really is doing a work. One of the things that Mark and I learned early on, you want to see what the Lord is doing, bless it, right, and move on with it. You don't want to do your own thing. So these three ministries, see God.
And these are really ministries that we've taken responsibility for, our ministries. And they're ones that wouldn't be possible to fund them just out of the general fund alone, although we give a lot of money to it out of our general budget.
So the first is Cuba. The doors are just, if they weren't opened before, they're just, they're a wide open door for us now. We started this ministry about 20 years ago. Al Green and I, he took me out to lunch at a Chinese restaurant, cashew chicken, still remember. And he tells me about Cuba, so That resulted in a couple of clandestine trips to Cuba because we had to go through Canada and down. At that time, Americans, it was hard to get in there. But he introduced me and Mark and this church to a group of pastors. There were 60 of them at the time, 60 churches. And since then, we have helped them start. They have 600 churches today on the island of Cuba. And Foothills has been a big part of that. And I'm going to have Marty share what the superintendent said about our involvement in that in just a few minutes. But we've started Bible schools, sponsored yearly conferences, bought church properties, a lot of church properties, smuggled medicine over $1 million worth. And with these medicines, they've held clinics all over Cuba. They have plenty of doctors, but no medicine. So there's Christian doctors that would do clinics at these churches, and just opened up the churches. What I'm trying to say, evangelism really opened up. The people began to look at Christians as valuable and churches as valuable. And that was really one of the major factors in the church growth. 15 years ago, we prayed about and thought one of the main areas that the ways that we could help the church in Cuba was to help planting pastors plant churches. It was very hard for them. The government didn't want to give them, you know, long and short of it, they were being persecuted. And so we came alongside of them. And for the last 15 years, this church has been supporting a minimum of 100 pastors every single month. And give yourself a hand. I mean, that's unbelievable.
And then the idea is once they plant the church and the church is self-sufficient, we can move on and help another pastor plant.
All right. last week, a Cuban pastor, I had the privilege of talking to a Cuban pastor, and he wanted to talk to me, and I got together with him. And he specifically, and he couldn't speak English, but one thing he emphasized, I want you to tell your people how thankful I am, my wife, my family, and the hundreds of pastors in Cuba for your help. The last thing I want to say about this, Mark, is that I know I've said this before. If the only thing we did in foreign missions, the only thing we did was in the island of Cuba, the Lord has used us to do an amazing thing. You figure it out. There are 600 churches. There are many churches with 50 to 500 to 1,000 Christians. I mean, we've affected, I mean, you put a number on it. I mean, it's a lot of people, and this church has done it, and we've done it with the Lord, obviously, and it humbles me. Praise the Lord.
And when people give $25, what they're really doing is helping sponsor a pastor.
Yes, that's what they're doing. Yep.
To build that church. That's where that money goes. The other stuff he mentioned comes out of our general budget. Mm-hmm. So for $25, you'll help sponsor a pastor to pastor and build a church here in Cuba. Okay, the next ministry you want to talk about, you guys have been so faithful. It's been every year we've been doing this special giving project, and every year you guys have been so faithful to help us with Youth Venture. And over the years, thank you. Over the years, we have showed you, I guess, scores of testimony videos about how this has impacted their lives. Most of you have seen or read this book, 23 stories. These are inspiring stories about how Youth Venture has changed the course of a young life. If you don't have this book, we have one waiting for you. Right out those doors, right in the lobby, look for the Youth Venture banner. Go there and pick up your book. We want you to read these exciting stories. So we thought this time we'd do something a little different rather than have more testimony videos. We would just show you a short video that's more, I guess, symbolic or something. I'm calling it One Special Day in the Life of a Youth Venture Kid, and it just sort of gives you a feeling for what Youth Venture does in the lives of these young people.
Thank you.
That illustrates how Youth Venture is changing the lives of so many young people, giving them hope, giving them direction, giving them family, and just changing the course of so many young people's lives. Most of you are familiar that we operate 4 teen centers in East County, 2 in El Cajon, 1 in Santee,
Mark, I'm gonna stop you.
1 in Lakeside.
I'm gonna interrupt you.
We need volunteers for Youth Venture. I'm just gonna say this.
I was gonna say that, but go ahead.
Oh, okay.
It comes better from you. It's more, go ahead.
Well, I thought you were going
I'm just getting started, but go ahead.
No, it's fine.
Go ahead. No. How many think he should go ahead? He's already interrupted me.
I was just gonna say, we could use, the more men and women we have in these youth centers, the more kids that we can we can talk to and impact. And when you go back to the, give it a shot. Just coming one time for a couple hours, two, 3 hours a week, that's, you're just helping with a shift. We all have 2 or 3 hours a week, and it'll change your life.
And David started a shift this year. You've been doing it for about 6 months over there in Santee.
Yeah, that's good. I'm gonna keep doing it, man. Sorry, brother.
That's all right. So we have the 4 centers. We've also helped get a center started in Alpine, which we still assist in. We're actually considering opening another center. We're working with the church. I hope that happens. But along with these 4 centers, we have 23 school clubs, on-campus clubs at middle school and high school. And we have a huge mentoring program. We have trips. We have camping. I just got back last weekend. We had our Youth Venture Leadership Retreat up at Pine Valley. And through these ministries, Youth Venture has powerfully impacted the lives of thousands of young people. And you know, 80% of all the work is done by volunteers. And that's why this is such a good investment, because what you give is leveraged many times over by the volunteer hours that are given. The more money that we invest, the more kids that we help. That's just the simple thing. So I want to thank you so, so much for all that you guys have done faithfully. We are close to our 25th year. I wish I would have looked that up exactly, but we're right around 24, 25 years that this has been operating. So thank you, and we could use you. We have a table right outside. Just go out there, find out more information. Look through the mentoring materials. Grab a book. Talk to the leaders up there. And pray about how you might get involved. Maybe it's just through giving, but maybe we always need volunteers. That's a big need we have. Let's go on now to our final ministry. Once again, I'm going to talk about the Kenya Youth Venture School Program. And once again, we this year did it out of general budget. This thing is exploding so big that we can't supply it out of general funds. We need to ask for your help. This is the first year we've given you an opportunity to do this. Our Youth Venture Kenya School Program goes directly into the schools. It's during their instructional time so that the entire school is there. It's more like a school assembly. And we go in there and we teach the same material that we're teaching the kids here in Youth Venture, all the principles. We've developed all the curriculum and all the training. And this began in just one state, in just a few schools. We'd gone down there to Kenya. We taught the material. They got the hold of the Joshua principle book, and some of the people just caught the vision. From that first year when they started, it has spread throughout Kenya. And the reason is because it's working through the Kenya Ministry Training Institute. I just told you before, they've had 2,500 graduates. It's these pastors that are taking it to their homes, to their towns, to their schools. It's also in Eastern Kenya, because there's a KMTI, Kenya Ministry Training Institute, in Eastern Kenya. But now it's spreading to Western Kenya, and I just got the report this year that they're going to be opening in schools in Rwanda and South Sudan as well next school term. And the reason this is exploding as it is several reasons. One, the Kenya pastors, the Kenya church recognizes the critical need to reach the next generation because I don't have the exact numbers, but it's my memory is 60% of the population in Kenya is under 21. Partially it's a high birth rate, but also many older people have died of AIDS. And there is a lot of El-Shabaabs in Kenya. There's terrorism there. There's corruption in the government. There's always, the pastors realize, a real threat for violence to break out. They realize they must reach this next generation. The other reason it's exploding is because the headmasters of the school, this is what they're reporting. When Youth Venture comes in, the school dropout rate plummets. Teen pregnancy rate plummets. The discipline in the classroom gets so much better. The schools improve in every way. And so they're telling other headmasters, and the schools are begging us to come in. So it is literally exploding. And already there are well over 100,000 students involved in this. So you can see the incredible opportunity as it's spreading to other nations. And we need help to help supply this. And what you give helps make a difference. Now, we sent a team down last year. M68 went down to help train pastors and actually teach some of these clubs and stuff. And leading that group was Jeremy and Rihanna Chan. I'm going to ask them to come up right now. They fell in love with Kenya. And so in October, they are moving down there.
Jeremy, could you grab the mic again?
In October, they're moving down with their little daughter, Shiloh, and this is a huge need. They'll be working with Larry Neese and the Kenyan leaders down there to train pastors and to just help oversee the club. I mean, good luck. It's exploding, these school programs. So let me just ask you a question. You got the microphone there. You went there. You fell in love with it. You guys have had a heart for missions. What led you to decide that you wanted to be a part of this ministry?
Well, I've been a part of the youth ministry here at Foothills for about 14 years. And in our marriage, we've been doing youth ministry for about 4.5 years. And we've seen the power of what Foothills has done with the youth here. And it's been a blessing to be a part of it. I think the greatest thing we do here at the church is to reach the youth of East County. And when we went to Kenya, we saw just a need. There's a need for these youth to know that God loves them and that there's a plan and a purpose for their life. And we believe that what Foothills has to offer needs to go to the nations. So we see the need in Kenya, and we want to be able to fulfill it.
Well, I am so grateful. Yeah, give him a hand. I am so very, very grateful to them because God has opened. I mean, this is an unimaginable explosion of opportunity. We're going to be up over 200,000 students very soon that are involved in these programs, being taught the Bible, being evangelized. You guys are working.
Okay, Mark, you need to run that number again by us. We need to hear that number again.
You guys, yeah, they're going to be up over 200,000 students involved in these clubs being evangelized and taught life-changing biblical principles.
Amen.
And I thank God because there is such a need. Praise the Lord that He raised up somebody to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," and respond to that need, to leave their life here in San Diego, to sell everything, and to be willing to move down to Kenya. I'm so grateful. So we need to pray for them. We need to support them. And they're your representatives. They're helping you change the world. We want to spend some time in prayer. So we want to invite Marty and Paula Wilson, if you guys would come up, and Jeremy Miller. Jeremy Miller runs our Youth Venture program here in San Diego, and Marty and Paula have been running the Cuba ministry for years. Marty, you've been down there how many times? 32 times he's been to Cuba.
Just a second. I do want you to quickly mention, because we've got a few minutes, because I didn't mention. Emilio, which is the superintendent of all the Bethel churches, he told you something that I'd like you to share with him, with all of us.
Yesterday.
Hold it. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
I messed up. There you go.
Yesterday, Emilio and I were talking on the phone, and he was just sharing some of the recent victories they had. And he said, make sure your church knows what an important role they play in the growth of our ministry here in Cuba. And he said, what you guys have done has been so significant. Then he immediately caught himself and said, no, not significant, unparalleled. So thank you from Emilio in the church in Cuba.
Cool. So let's pray. We're going to first pray for Marty and Paul and their work in Cuba. Lord, first, Lord, we want to thank you for Al Green. His passion to get us down there, specifically me. I didn't want to go. But anyway, to see what you have done through him and now, Lord, working through Marty and Paula. We ask that you would expand their vision. You would protect them, protect the pastors. We pray, Lord, that the government would not hinder the things that we believe that you want us to do, push the enemy back. We pray for Emilio. We pray, Lord God, that you give us wisdom to put these monies in exactly the right place. Amen.
Let's pray for Jeremy Miller. Well, Lord, we want to pray for Youth Venture. We want to pray for Jeremy. And along with him, Lord, for the other three center directors, for all the volunteers that work there. Lord, we want to remember to pray for all those that go into the schools and teaching the clubs as well. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this open door. Thank you for all the thousands of lives that have been impacted and changed. And we just pray, Lord, for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit on Jeremy, that, Lord, you would enable him to be an encourager to all those who, Lord, are laboring and working in this ministry. We want to pray, Lord, for each and every shift worker, everybody, Lord, that is involved in mentoring. And we just pray they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we want to pray, Lord, for the precious young people in this community, that you would send them to us, that you would help us to connect, that you would give us a lifeline into their heart. And that, Lord, you would cause them to turn to you. We pray for a wonderful evangelistic harvest in Jesus' name. And that many lives would be firmly established in your truth. We thank you for this, Lord. May your spirit be every day at every youth venture in Jesus' name. In
Jesus' name.
And Lord, we just thank you for the chance. Lord, we are just stunned by what you have done in just 7 short years through these Bible programs in Kenya and Uganda. Lord, we are just amazed. Thank you, Lord, for calling someone. Thank you for giving them a willing heart to go down. And we just pray that you help them, Lord, as they all the details that have to be done in order to relocate to a different country. Lord, we pray that you raise all the support that they need. We pray you continue to bless and watch over and protect all the workers, all the volunteers, all the pastors, all the schools, all the students involved in those schools. Lord, in Kenya, where there's oftentimes violence and poverty, we just pray, Lord, even terrorism, we just pray your hand to be with all the people involved in this good work that you've begun. And especially, Lord, we pray for a tremendous harvest. We pray, Lord, that you touch a generation rising up there in East Africa. We thank you, we bless you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys. Thanks, so
guys.
Much.
Okay, if we can have the worship band back up here, and if you could take out the mission flyer. If you would, please. We're asking you to commit for 1 year
to hopefully giving $25 to at least one of these ministries, maybe three. If you're a student and you can only maybe give $10 a month, great, whatever you can give. Mark and I are just asking you, you heard what these three ministries are doing and affects hundreds, I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of people. And I hope that you'd like to be a part of that. Mary and I are gonna do this. You can sponsor one, two, three. please just prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you to do. Fill that out. And there's five different ways you can give on the bottom here. Mark, I know there was some problems last year, but we got those all worked out. And there's a few of you, but that's not gonna be a problem this year. There's five different ways. Did I miss anything?
If
yes, sir.
If they already signed up, they need to sign up again.
Yes.
As of June 1st.
Okay.
Yeah. So as of June 1st, this isn't like the old Capitol Record Club where you can join but you can never get out, or the Book of the Month Club. We are dropping you June 1st unless you re-up.
So if you're giving,
be sure to do that. Even if you're currently giving, you need to re-sign this up. All right, then.
You want to tell them what to do? You want me to?
Go ahead.
Okay. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a song. And it's a new song for us. And I love, is this a song you're singing? The song I love? This is not, you're not doing the song I love?
Well, next.
The next song. Okay. So this is okay song. But the next song. I'm sorry. Anyway. Come and just put these down here on the altar. It's not the altar, it's the stage. Just as kind of a sign of your commitment. And
let's all work together to help change the world.
So come up and bring those now as we sing this awesome song.